So Jeremelia, come on up to the front. So good to have you here. And some of us were at a dessert night here at the church on Friday night, and we had a great time learning about you, and we wanted to give the church to hear a little bit about you this morning. So maybe first of all, we can just say, what have you been doing in Tanzania?
Well, for the last 2 years, we've been working in the administration program for our mission organization, which trains new missionaries, new people coming to Africa to live well in Africa. They learn the language, the culture.
So you're administrating teams that are coming?
That's right.
Yep. And you've been doing that for 2 years?
Yes. Leah and I. The program's been going for 20 years.
All right. So you've been there, you've been administrating, you've been in Tanzania, enjoying that. You've been in what city?
Near Arusha, which is in the north, kind of in the middle of Tanzania.
Cool. And so let me ask you a question before we talk about the future. You've been there 2 years. You've been going through a lot. What have you learned about following Jesus while you've been working with Africa Inland Mission in Tanzania?
Mostly we've learned that God is heavily into the business of using very ordinary people to do amazing things. Hmm. We've been able to watch the teams that go out, and we've been able to see them learn and falter and stand up again and have the faith to go to the next step and do it. And they complete their two-year training. And it's just amazing what God does in their lives. The other thing that we've learned is that suffering in our culture here is something that we often like avoid at all costs. But suffering is one of the ways that we grow closer to Jesus. We share in his sufferings and amazing things happen. So we've learned to pray more. We've learned to trust more. And we've learned, I think, to suffer a little bit more gracefully.
Mm. Awesome. Anything you want to add, Jeremy?
We've learned a lot about faith. Mm-hmm. We've gone through some challenges over the last couple of years, but never have we been feeling like we're shortchanged or we're struggling for money or anything like that. God has always provided what we needed when we needed it.
Wow. Cool. And you're home. You came home a few weeks ago, as I just mentioned. Great timing on that. And you're going back at June 1st. Everything, we'll talk about that in a minute. Everything works out. But you're going to a different role. You're going back to Tanzania, same country, same organization, Africa Inland Mission, but an entirely new role, which is?
We're going to be leading a team of new missionaries, people that come out and find out that, no longer are they competent in anything in this new context. So we get to walk these babies, a group of adults, through what it takes to live and work and establish a church in an African context.
So you're going to be leading a team and really mentoring younger folks for the most part on how to be effective missionaries and church planters?
And not always younger.
Not always younger. There you go.
You're welcome to come too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We've already talked. There are snakes there. where are you going? Where in Tanzania are you going?
It's near the coast. If you know the geography, there's Dar es Salaam. It's a port city right about the middle north-south in Tanzania. We'll be about 4 hours drive north of that, about 30 kilometers in from the Indian Ocean. So this is the east side of the continent. Mm-hmm. And we'll be working just off of a fairly major highway, about 3 kilometers in, and working in what becomes very suddenly a very rural setting. Right. Small village among a people group called the Zigua that are like 90-95% Muslim, Islamic.
Okay. And you're going in there now. You're not going in with a team initially. You're going in for a year just by yourselves. And
yes.
What are you going to be doing there?
So the first year before, our team will run for 2 years. But the first, we've committed to 3 years because we need to go in a year in advance because we get to learn yet another language. We're learning Kizigua. And then following that, we also need to build housing for our team. We need to build about 6 houses. And we're really there to foster good community relationships with our community before our team comes, so that when they come, they understand that that the people will understand that they really are going to need to help our people to get on track and to learn language and do all the things that you're doing for the Mwonga family in reverse. We're there to foster good relationships, learn language, and set up housing for our team. And the team will run for 2 years following our first year.
Okay. And the goal, the three-year goal of being in this village is what? What's your goal?
So our training program has a dual goal. The first one is to train new cross-cultural workers for a lifetime of ministry. We have about a 77% retention rate. So they finish the program, and 77% of the participants will come back to some form of cross-cultural work, we hope, in the village. And the second goal is to plant a church among an unreached people group, and not just any church, but a church that is Christ-centered and will duplicate itself.
Okay,
that's the goal.
Maybe share briefly with us this morning. This is a really cool part of this. This isn't a bunch of white folks going into an African village to tell them how to do life. You're partnering with the national church there. Can you explain a little bit of that for us?
Well, in the past, it's largely been AIM, a bunch of white folks coming in and saying, well, we would like to start a work here. And they'll go in, they'll start something, and they'll say, hey, church, why don't you come in and send a pastor now? But this time around, it's the other way around. So the national church has gotten something started. They've been invited by the Islamic community to come in and serve them. So the community has said, we would really like a school, among other things. And the church has raised the money, their own money, to start building a school there. Cool. And they see the potential in this area. And they have invited us, Africa Inland Mission, to come in and not only train just foreigners, but also some of their own people to work in a cross-cultural setting.
That's awesome.
Because although they're Tanzanians, they too are crossing a culture. They're a different people group, and they're going into a new tribe and a new area. So they need training also on how to do that well. So half of our team will be Tanzanians and Kenyans.
Awesome, cool. So you mentioned you're 3 hours off a highway, but this isn't like our 3 hours off. It's life going to be like, or 3 kilometers?
3 kilometers.
Yeah.
Very short.
But yeah, very short. But okay, what is life really like in this village? Other than there's snakes. We already know that. So I have this thing about snakes, okay?
It's going to be what a lot of us would consider very basic. Leah and I are going to be in a reasonably good house, especially by local standards, one that's going to be built not only for us, but also for a pastor that'll probably follow on after us. People are going to be living in very close community with the people around them. There's not going to be any electricity, no running water. If people have electricity, it's going to be solar that they can power lights and maybe charge their computer once a day.
Our team houses are mud and stick, and they get a tin roof.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is pretty primitive living, right? I mean, we're talking here mud hut. The typical, when you think African village, that's what they're going to. No electricity, no running water. So why on earth are you doing this?
God has put it on our hearts to come and do this, to be able to train more people to come and expand his church to work for his kingdom.
I think if God calls you to spread his word, you shouldn't compromise and even become a king. It's wow. It's the best thing in the world to be doing.
So before I ask how we can support you, and I've got a couple of questions after that as well, but let me give us a God working story. You've got a whole bunch. Give us one.
All right. So one of our teams that just finished up actually a few months ago in Madagascar. So this training program runs across Africa in I think 18 different countries, something like that. And we have a team in that just finished in Madagascar, and they were noticing in their culture, the Antakarana culture, that music was a big deal. And so the team thought, okay, what if we could get some of the psalms and some scriptures put to music, but not our style of music. Let's use Antakarana music. So they thought, okay, we can translate it, but we can't really put it to the music ourselves. We need to get some help doing that. So they found this band, and they didn't really realize that this was a band of mostly drunken guys when they first started out. But they asked them, hey, do you think, like, if we give you these words, could you put them to music? Said, yeah, sure. So slowly over time, these guys started, they started to play these songs. Even at their in their own sets, on their when they would go to do weddings and things like that, they would start to play these songs. And through playing them over and over and over, the word just kind of saturated into them. And they came back to the team and they said, do you know, like, this Jesus guy, we'd actually really like to follow him. And the team went, what? so they walked them through that process. And that became the basis for an Antakarana church. And those lives, those men, have completely transformed lives. And people are seeing, they know what those men used to be like and what they're like now. And they're coming and they're saying, what happened? What, you know, whatever that is, I want that. And so there's a brand new Antakarana church that's been planted.
That's awesome. Awesome stuff. And if you see them after at the table after, they have a table in the back, they'll be there after the service. Ask them about the shepherds. That's an amazing story as well. How can we support you?
First and foremost, you can pray for us. That is one thing that we need, that everybody needs, that's working out on the field, that you're working here. Without prayer, without the power of God in our lives, there's no point in us being there. So that's the first and biggest thing. If you want to contribute financially, we do need to increase our monthly support. We are about $1,500 short of the target that AIM has set for us to say, you have to reach this amount per month before you are allowed to go back out. So we need that by June 1st. And also we need a total about 22.
I have to drag it out of them. I had to do this the other night too.
$22,000 in our account before we are also able to go out. So that covers things like flights, a course that I'm taking in July in the UK, immigration visas, getting some things like solar panels, things like that. It's not cheap to get out and get started.
And how much of that $22,000 have you already raised?
We've already got $7,000.
Cool. Awesome.
Or more.
So you need about $15,000 then?
Yeah.
Okay, still to go out. That's awesome. So we can pray for you. We can support you. You're short on monthly support. You need some money to get out onto the field again. And you were also talking about possibly a small team coming out in January and doing some building. You want to flesh that out a little bit?
Yeah. Well, the National Church, they have really taken on getting this team started. So they've got some locations already lined up, and they've started building our house. But there's going to be a couple more houses that we need to either build from the ground up or in some of the neighboring communities renovate. So we need some help getting some of the fine details.
By a couple, he means six.
Small amount.
Yeah.
It's doable. So we need to get these houses ready for the team that's going to be arriving in September of next year.
Right. So if you're interested in going out like in January, February, when it's a mild 40 degrees there, the good news is it's so hot the snakes hide at that time of the year, right? Yeah, there we go. Yeah. That you could talk to them at the back after, and we can see if we can put a small team together that could come out and help you and do some work and get things happening. So I got a couple other questions. We had dinner the other night, and Leah said something interesting to me. So first of all, let me ask you the question. What classifies as an unreached people group?
An unreached people group, first of all, a people group is a language and cultural group. They're similar. So you speak the same language, you kind of know each other. And then an unreached people group is one where that group of people, less than 2% are God-fearing, following Jesus, know who he is, evangelical Christian.
Hmm. And so what does that make Victoria?
That would be right on the edge.
Right. Do you realize that? The Krons are following Jesus' calling to go to a little village in the middle of Africa in an amazing way, sacrificing a lot of the things that we think are the necessities of life, to go to an unreached people group. And if you think about that definition, we're all amongst an unreached people group. Meaning, and this is my last question for you, what would you say to us about living 6-8 in our culture? Well, I'll leave the question there.
One of the very important lessons that we've learned along the way, thankfully early on, is that we're filled up to be poured out, but you can't pour out unless you're filled up. So unless you're spending daily time in the Word, you don't have anything to give. And your friends and neighbors do not want stale bread. They want fresh bread from the Word.
Hmm. Cool. You got any advice? Nothing like putting you on the spot. You're going to say what she said, right?
Nope. I was going to give the mic to her.
Yeah. No. Okay. Awesome. So they're going to be in the back after. You can chat with them. And we need to be praying for them. I'm going to pray for you before I let you go here. We need to be praying for them. God's called them. And it's a real encouragement to me when I see younger people with their 3 children going out and saying, we're going to go where God calls us to go. And we're gonna sacrifice, and we're going to put it on the line for Jesus. We were talking, you know, El Shabaab is not too far away. Al-Qaeda is not too far away and from where they're going to be. And if you don't know who they are, look them up online. It'll scare you. But they're saying we're gonna go out because God's called us. And that's exciting. We have other folks. Remember to pray for Krista Brunt. She's out in Nicaragua. She's actually going to be here on June 5th or 6th, and you get to meet her. She's home for a few days. She'll update us about her work. And Megan Carr has had to pull out of Tanzania because of some safety concerns. Tunisia? What did I say?
Tanzania.
I had to pull out of Tunisia because of some safety concerns, and she's in Switzerland right now looking for God's leading in some ways to get back to North Africa, so be praying for her. And it's exciting to see these folks in our church going out all over the world to share the name of Jesus, and we should be excited about that. And yet, as we just talked about it, it's not just about them going out. We live amongst an unreached people group, and so we need to go out as well, and so let's make sure that we're doing that. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give some instructions, and we're going to finish this morning off appropriately around the communion table. So let me pray for Jeremy and Leah first. Father, thank you for them. Thank you for Jeremy and Leah. Thank you for them sharing their heart this morning. Father, it is encouragement to us, or it should be an encouragement to us, that you've called this family of 5 to go into Tanzania. You've called them to go to an unreached people group, to live like they're camping all the time, and to do it because they love you and they love the people they're going to reach. Thank you that they're following your call. Father, I pray that finances won't prevent them from going out on June 1st, but God, that you will pour out your resources onto this couple who are taking the steps that you've called them to do. Father, thank you for their faithfulness and for others in our church like Krista and Megan and Ben and others who go out and serve you in the name of Jesus. May we remember to pray for them and support them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's thank Jeremy and Leah. Thanks, man. You know, Leah said something great there. She said, you need to be in the Word every day. And the quote she uses from a missionary is, so you're not giving stale bread to Muslims. And we need to be in the Word every day so we're not giving stale bread to our neighbors because they want fresh bread, as she just said. But, you know, that all starts with us coming to know the giver of life. Right? Jeremy and Lee are going out into Tanzania. Megan went out to Tunisia. Krista's gone out to Nicaragua. Other people have gone out from our church to other places. And they've done that because they have a heart for Jesus. Jesus has transformed their life, and they want to go share that transformation with others. And so it all comes back, and the center to it all is Jesus. He's the reason. He's the life giver. He's the one who came and moved into the neighborhood, as Eugene Peterson says in John. He's the one that's come to give us life. And so we need to remember who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And I think the great thing about celebrating communion here once a month is it gets us back to the focus. That really it's all about Jesus. That's what it's all about. And so we're going to take the bread and we're going to take the cup now. And if you know Jesus and you're visiting with us today, we want to invite you to share with us. We give out the bread, which symbolizes his broken body on the cross. We give that out, and then we take it all together, and then we take the cup, we give it out, and we take it all together. The cup symbolizing his shed blood on the cross. Done that so we can know his love and his grace, but not so we can hold it to ourselves, so that as he transforms us, we can follow the example of others who have gone before us and those who are going out, like Jeremy and Leah, and we can go out into our neighborhoods, our unreached people groups, with the good news of Jesus. So let me pray, and then I'll ask those that are serving to come up, and we'll take the bread together, and then we'll take the cup together. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and love. Thank you that you want to give us fresh bread every morning. Father, you want to give us the bread of life. You want to fill us with life, not just for our own sake, but that we can go out and share that life with others. And Father, we can get so busy. We can get involved in so many things that we lose sight of the center. That we lose sight that we have a great King, a great Lord, a great God who loves us. Loves us so much that he sent Jesus, his Son, into the world to die on the cross so that we can know love and grace, so we can know forgiveness, so we can know reconciliation, and then that we can pass it on. And so, Lord, in these moments, as we take the bread, as we take the cup, may these be moments where we just reflect on you and we just reflect on the busyness of our lives. And maybe in these moments, we make some corrections so that we're putting you in your rightful place, right in the center. Father, as we take the bread, as we take the cup now, may these moments be special as we are in your presence together. In Jesus' name, amen.